Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Monday, everybody. Today we are going to take a look at this week's full moon in the sign of Pisces, and I'm going to tell you why I think that this full moon has the opportunity to be very healing. There are a variety of reasons why I think that a full moon will act and behave in the way that it does, and it usually boils down to the context of the full moon or the new moon or whatever transit we're looking at. In this case, I feel like this full moon has the potential to be very healing, among other things, but I want to try to focus on that particular angle of the full moon and give you some reasons why I think it has the chance to be so healing. So that's what we're going to do today. Before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe. Share your comments in the comment section. Click on the link and you'll know when we have new videos dropping. Notification bell. If you want, you can find transcripts of my daily talks on the website, nightlightastrology.com. When you go over there, be sure to check out all of my readings and courses. If you have any questions about booking a reading, you can email us too, info@nightlightastrology.com. Okay, well, let's take a look at the real-time clock before we get into the full moon so that I can just point out some of the features that we're going to be covering. First of all, you'll notice that the full moon is coming through Wednesday evening, August 30th. This is central time in the United States, of course. And you'll see that the full moon is in Pisces. You can always tell it's a full moon, for those of you who don't know, because it will be exactly opposite the sun. So there's that opposition, the full moon opposition between the sun and the moon. Sun, of course, is in the sign of Virgo. Mercury is retrograde. Venus is retrograde. Venus is slowing down to station and turn direct pretty soon. It's in a square with Jupiter still in Taurus. We're going to talk a little bit about that. This is a very watery full moon, and there's a lot of Saturnian implications in this full moon, and this is why I think it's going to be healing. So bear with me as I try to explain it all to you. But at any rate, that's what I want to do today is try to give you some reason to hope about this full moon, that it can act as a salve or a balm, that this full moon can heal things that have been broken or hurt or achy, whether that's psychologically, relationally, physically. There are five healing features of the full moon in Pisces that I want to talk about today. They're in no particular order, but the first one is that this full moon comes just after the full moon of Saturn's synodic cycle. Let me try to explain this. And actually, I'll pop the real-time clock back up so that I can illustrate this for you and tell you why I think this is a big deal. So first of all, I'm going to eliminate everything from our perspective except for the sun and Saturn so that I can unpack that cycle for you. So the sun and Saturn at the time of this full moon are just separating from Saturn, or the sun is just separating from an opposition to Saturn. This is effectively something like the full moon of the cycle between the sun and Saturn. Let's go back in time, and we're going to back it up to the time during which the sun conjoined Saturn. So here they were, and what's so interesting about their conjunction is that it came in late Aquarius, and it happened just before Saturn ingressed into Pisces. So I think it's pretty interesting that Saturn is coming back through its retrograde to those early degrees of Pisces, which is where it was just after the sun and Saturn conjoined back in February into March when Saturn actually ingressed into Pisces. So this is significant for a variety of reasons, but the very first thing to note is that the synodic cycle of the sun and any planet begins when the sun and that planet conjoin. And this is thought to be the birth of it's like a new moon cycle, but it's for that planet. So the new moon for Saturn began back in February. So we can go back and we can actually see the sun and Saturn conjoining around February 15th or 16th. So you kind of think of this as you can actually track these cycles if you want to go back and do journaling work. I find that it's not the easiest or most intuitive cycle to track, but nonetheless, that doesn't mean that the turning points of the cycle aren't themselves important, even if it's harder to see the full the sort of full display of the cycle. It's harder to track the Saturn cycles because they happen over such long periods of time. But you could go back to about the middle of February for the start of this cycle. What happens is the Sun, who moves faster than Saturn, will then start separating from Saturn. We're going to just see the Sun getting farther apart from Saturn in the zodiac. Every time that the Sun reaches a trine, or roughly the area of the trine to Saturn, Saturn will change directions. So you can see that Saturn is stationing as the Sun is in late Gemini, approaching early Cancer, where it will make the trine. So it's always right around the trine. So here comes the trine, and of course, Saturn has just turned retrograde. And you can see the trine coming through between Cancer, Sun in Cancer, and Saturn in Pisces. Now, if we keep taking this forward, the next major part of the cycle, and you could say that that's sort of like a first quarter moon for Saturn, and we're going to take this further. And when we get to the opposition between the Sun and Saturn, just like an opposition between the Sun and the Moon, this is a little bit like the full moon moment for Saturn. That Sun opposition to Saturn reflects a kind of midlife moment for Saturn within its synodic cycle. And that's where we've just been. Very recently, we've had this as of, you know, this was August 26th, over the course of last weekend, we had this Sun opposite Saturn moment. And people will often find that, you know, you're at something of a major turning point or crossroad. You will find that you are facing more deeply seated tensions or oppositions or blockages or frustrations, and having to work through them. And it doesn't feel like they're ordinary. There's a kind of weightiness or gravitas to the Sun opposition with Saturn because it's the midlife of Saturn's synodic cycle. So Saturn is sort of dishing out some of its most important lessons for us around the opposition, which is what we've just been through. Now, let's go back to my little point that I'm making, point number one, which is that this full moon comes just as that opposition is passing by. So it comes after the Sun opposite Saturn, which means that we are just moving past a serious kind of confrontation with Saturnian energy. Most of the time when we're on that side of, when we get a full moon that comes just after something like that, it's going to be far better than a full moon that comes as the Sun is going into the opposition. So let's just say we had a full moon that was timed up just a little bit earlier as the Sun was going into the opposition with Saturn, then that full moon would present as the Sun opposite Saturn, and that would be a very difficult full moon. But as it is, this full moon comes as the two are separating. So that carries with it a signature of having passed over troubled waters, that this full moon comes then as a time of integration or healing or rest or reset or sort of healing as we push past an obstacle or barrier that we've recently faced. Now, that healing can take time, and it may require that we seek help, or that we not be too proud or afraid or nervous to ask for help in some way. But the signature of the Sun passing through the opposition to Saturn as this full moon comes by, I think, is promising in terms of like trying to put something behind us and starting a healing process. So that's where I'm grabbing that symbolism from. All right, let's go ahead to number two. The moon itself at the time of the full moon is coming off from a separation from Saturn. What's interesting is that ancient astrologers imagined a 3-degree engagement range as the moon was applying to Saturn and separating from Saturn. This full moon moment comes just as the moon has parted ways from the engagement, meaning it's crossing over the 3-degree barrier, so to speak. As a planet is separating, the ancient astrologers had a way of thinking of the separation like a piece of hair, you know, that grows out of your scalp and then falls off, or like a fruit that grows on the tree and falls off. There's a way in which something is fruiting and falling off the tree, and that is marked by the engagement. At some time within that 3-degree range of applying and separating, fruit falls off the tree. And this is a kind of karmic fruit, you could say. Well, what's so nice about this full moon is that that fruit has just fallen off the tree. And so you get the sense of having gone through an ordeal, and the full moon can then act as something like the aftermath. In the aftermath of the fruit falling off the tree karmically with Saturn, that's where we get signatures of integration, healing, wisdom, becoming a little bit more mature or wise, having, you know, licked, we're kind of licking our wounds, and maybe we've been to the school of hard knocks, the Saturnian school, and we've seen something, or we've been frustrated by something. But just like the sun is coming off from the opposition to Saturn in its cycle, the moon is coming off an engagement with Saturn at the full moon. So these are promising signs of having, again, passed through troubled waters. And that's why I feel like this full moon has the potential to be so healing. These are little details that can make a big difference. These are the kinds of details that ancient astrologers paid attention to, because it's not just a full moon with Saturn. It's a full moon that's passed over the Saturn, the conjunction with Saturn, and that means something. Number three, the hosts of the full moon are configured to each other positively with reception. So the full moon is in Venus's exaltation, that's Pisces, and Jupiter's domicile. So you could think of Pisces as like the home temple of Jupiter in ancient astrology. But it also has a wing dedicated to Venus, to the exaltation of Venus. So Pisces, in other words, is a sign likened unto Jupiter and Venus, a watery, feminine Jupiter and Venus. Now, in modern astrology, people attribute Neptune to Pisces. We're not going to do that. In general, ancient astrologers, people who practice or study traditional astrology, have recognized that the dignity scheme was really elaborate. It's not just rulerships and exaltations. It's also terms or bounds, faces or decans. It's also triplicities by day and by night. You have a really elaborate scheme. You can't just slap a planet onto a sign. Most traditional astrologers that I know who, you know, work with the outer planets will say the outer planets do not rule any signs. They act as, of course, as planetary symbols that with great power, but we don't give them sign rulership. So we're not going to look at Pisces like it's a Neptunian place. Although I think some of the associations between Neptune and Pisces are, you know, I get why they've been made. But at any rate, that's another conversation. What I want to say is that it's important to think of Pisces from the traditional standpoint as the place of Jupiter and Venus. When you look at a full moon, you want to look at its hosts. If it has two or one, in this case, the two, Venus and Jupiter, are configured to one another in a square, which is okay for benefics. They tend to be just fine in squares. And we have Jupiter in Venus's sign. Now, Venus is also, having appeared as the morning star, been reborn, is preparing to turn direct. So we have a very powerful turning point for Venus, configured positively to Jupiter. Both are the hosts of the full moon. So this full moon has passed over the troubled waters of Saturn. The sun has passed over the hard opposition to Saturn. We're leaving those things behind and moving toward something smoother, something easier, maybe healing and integration coming off from that encounter with Saturn. And then we see the benefics that host the full moon positively configured to one another, all symbols of healing, of abundance, of grace, of the best things coming out of a hard thing, perhaps. That's the way I'm looking at it. Because I feel like this month of August, ever since I started looking at it at the very beginning of the year, I thought, wow, this month of August has such a signature of healing and transformation around it. It's like the first half of Venus's retrograde, and at least the late part of July, was pretty rough. August, you're some really positive turning points within the cycle of Venus's retrograde. And I had this full moon on my mind for a long time thinking, you know, that sun opposite Saturn is hard. It's the midpoint of Saturn's cycle. There's kind of like a, you know, it'll ground us or clip our wings a little bit, or it may represent a really frustrating or difficult encounter with something that's been brewing. At the same time, we have, you know, sort of the feeling of the full moon is breathing a deep sigh of relief. Number four, the moon opposes Mercury retrograde. Now, that might sound on the surface like a big negative, right? Like a moon opposite, full moon opposite Mercury retrograde sounds a little rough. Well, this is not exactly at the time of the full moon, but the point is that shortly after the full moon, very much while the moon is still in its full phase, you could say, it moves through in opposition to Mercury retrograde. Now, moon oppositions to Mercury traditionally have been associated with anything from mental and emotional health challenges to, more, let's say, more turbulent states of mind or mood or emotion, to troubles between the emotional and mental faculties, like they're at odds with one another. But the thing that I like about this is that when you see Mercury is retrograding, and then the full moon, having passed over Saturn, is going to oppose it, I get the feeling that, yes, mental and emotional energies, conflicts between the mental and emotional in general, could be amplified around the time of the full moon. But what I love about this is that Mercury is very well dignified and is also going to retrograde into a trine with Jupiter and is very well protected from combustion. So I'm not getting a feeling of like a crisis that can't be resolved, but of mental and emotional conflicts and tensions that can be resolved and worked through, because the overall signature of this Mercury retrograde and of the benefics hosting the full moon having passed over Saturn is very positive. So, and this is all within the subjective, you know, consensus reality. Of course, for any of us who are practicing some kind of spiritual life, the goal is always to, make lemonade out of the lemons, right? So most of us probably don't even look at transits in terms of good or bad, but rather, in terms of, archetypes and, possible possibilities, really, that we're going to be working with. And we probably most of you just try to keep an open mind and an open heart. So me sitting here saying it's all positive, you're like, I try to treat everything like it's going to be a positive. And that's good if you do. But still, not all transits are the same, and some are much more difficult to, get ourselves ready for or work through than others. The point is that I think that the potential for mental and emotional healing almost like important emotional breakthrough conversations with other people is very positive around this full moon. Even if it's not entirely easy, the idea of being able to work through something, I think, is promising here. So watch for the mental/emotional tension around the full moon as well. Number five is that water is fertile. So when you think of a full moon in a water sign, you think of things that are growing, of things that can develop, and of, water heals. But the other thing that water does is it grows things. Life comes from water. So overall, what I like about this is that we're separating from a planet that was associated with death and winter and decay and old age and impermanence and Saturn. We're separating from that. And there's the benefics positively configured to one another, Venus, Jupiter, the moon, in a water sign. You just get the feeling that, this has the potential to be healing and to be supportive of life and its development and its growth. Good things grow with rain, right? Of course, everything grows with rain and water. So maybe that's not exactly the right thing to say, but you get the point that a full moon in a water sign ruled by both benefics when they're configured to one another and you're passing over Saturn has the potential for good things to grow out of it. So, let's keep that in mind. These are all of the reasons that I have for thinking that this full moon is going to be a very healing one. I hope that it is for you. So don't kill the messenger if it ends up being a rough time. I do my best to interpret the signs and omens. And I try to, when I see something that looks like it has the potential to be uplifting rather than, another healing crisis, I like to point it out. And sometimes I get it right, sometimes not. But we'll see. We'll see how this one goes. I'm looking forward to it. I feel like this has the potential to be a healing experience for all of us. So I'd love to hear your stories and your feedback and hear how it goes. Keep me up to speed, and I'll look forward to more tomorrow. All right, that's it for today. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.